Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Going back a few years, I was in the OPC church in Bridgewater, South Dakota, and I was asked to preach for this vacant church down in Kansas City, Missouri. And so I preached this passage before, and so even in the record here, on the on January 11, I preached this message in Bridgewater, and then on January 18, the next Sunday, I preached it in down in Kansas City. And that really propelled, it eventually led to a call and a change of address and a new ministry there. And it is a remarkable chapter, and I think it's quite fitting for us to consider on a Thanksgiving Eve or a Thanksgiving day. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time, for this day, for this opportunity. We pray that as we interact with your word, as we think of these verses in light of being thankful and Thanksgiving Day, Lord, might it be that we would receive instruction and would receive encouragement to hold fast to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible translation that I have, it has this heading above the chapter. It says, "Remember the Lord your God." Let's read these scriptures. "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks and water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this. Wow. And you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you most likely are familiar that the book of Deuteronomy was written and read forth before the Israelites while they were yet outside the promised land. They wandered for 40 years. They overcame Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, conquered their land, and now they were on the east side of the Jordan, just north of the Dead Sea in the plains there. And Moses is going to review for them all that God did. He tells them, he reviews with them the good things, he reviews with them the bad things. In fact, if you would just page through some of these chapters, chapter 7, you know, why did God choose you? Were you better than other people? No. Truth is, you weren't even a people. You were just two people, right? Abraham and Sarah. And then we're in chapter 8, chapter 9, Israel's rebellions revealed. Remember when you did this? Remember when you did that? Remember when you did that? He goes over each of the times, and they doubted God and questioned him. And just goes on recounting the history of what took place during those 40 years. And so as we come to chapter 8, they are receiving these exhortations to remember, to hold fast, to not forget what the Lord had commanded and given to them. So we will look mostly at the first few verses of this chapter. We'll look at a few other references because it kind of there's repetition of the various directions. But what we will see is that God exhorts his people to remember their need of God's blessing and God's care. We'll note first the exhortation that they receive. We will listen next to the explanation of the exhortations they receive, and then we will hear about what we expect is going to take place on account of these things. And so first, the exhortation. Chapter 1 begins, and we hear this all over the Bible. Basically, it's do what God says. Follow His commandments. Listen to His teaching. And I think it's helpful as we read a verse like this or anywhere else in the Bible, like the New Testament. Why does it tell us to do something? Most likely it tells us to do that thing because our weaknesses hinders us and keeps us from doing those things. Conversely, when we're told not to do things, why are we told not to do things? Why are we told not to grumble? Why are we told not to murmur? Maybe because we're pretty good grumblers, right? We're pretty good complainers. And so we're told not to do what's easiest, what is natural for us to do. And so as we begin, just listen here. Chapter 8, verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe. Why? Well, what's the next phrase? That you may live. That you may multiply. That you may go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your father. You shall remember who God is. You shall remember what God has said. And of course, He is not, I mentioned this in our prayer, when God tells us to act a certain way or to do certain things, He's not telling us arbitrarily as if, oh, maybe A and maybe B is good. And then, you know, deciding as if they're equal good or they're equal outcomes. Of course, no. He knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. And just think this through. Who created us? Who made the world in which we live? God did. And so there's a certain sense in which you can look at the Bible as the set of directions. How is this supposed to work? Well, the Bible reveals how life is supposed to work. The Bible reveals what's our best chance for happiness? What's our best chance for longevity? What's our best possibility for success? Is it doing our will or God's will? What do you think? Doing God's will, that's right. And we need to become convinced of that in our heads. We need to remember that we are not our own. We don't get to decide these things. But what we do need to find within our hearts is that willingness and that readiness to heed and to submit to God's word and His will. And even in those commands, you see it's not just do, but it's why do. Every command which I command you today, you must be careful to observe in order that you may live, in order that you may multiply. You know, when the Israelites entered the promised land, I don't know the exact number, but I think of the fighting men, wasn't there like 600 and some thousand foot soldiers and at least as many women and children as that? So maybe 1.5 million people. Well, in the land, in the promised land, that wasn't enough people to fill. And so they would need to grow. They would need to multiply. They would need to increase if they were going to possess the land. And so going back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the cultural mandate. Be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over the earth. Take dominion. And so that's still part of the package here. Live in a manner that pleases God. And part of that is increase. Part of that is multiplication. And so the exhortation is to hear God. The exhortation is to fear God. The exhortation is to humble yourself before God and do those things which are right and well-pleasing in His sight. And of course, the world says something else, doesn't it? The world says that just watch a commercial. This is what life is. Big letters, bright, shiny lights, and happy, perfect people. Right? That's life. That's happiness. But that's not true. It's exactly right on it. That's not true. Because the one who provides life, even life forevermore, is God the Creator. The God who made us and the God who knows what is to be best for us. And so it is that the directions that the Lord supplies is that He calls us to be faithful no matter where we are. You know, if you're a second grader, what does it mean for you to be a faithful Christian? Well, it's probably a little bit different for you than it's for someone who's a dad. Different responsibilities. But what we have to learn is that no matter what age we are, no matter what status or state of life we're in, we need to be the best version of a young person at that age. And part of growing up is earning and learning, taking additional responsibilities as you grow. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I spoke at a singles conference. And these are people in their 20s and 30s and maybe some older than that. And the discussion was, well, how do you live godly as a single person? How do you find a godly mate? And my subject was how the seriousness of marriage. And one of the things that I mentioned is that as we grow and mature as believers, we are to be faithful wherever we are. We are obliged to bloom where we're planted. So wherever you are right now, your task is to be a faithful young man or a faithful young woman, a faithful dad, a faithful grandpa, a faithful friend, or what all that involves. And of course, before we're entrusted with more responsibilities, what do we want to see? We want to see mastery. We want to see success at a lower level. Think about rank and so on in the military. You don't go from being a young lieutenant to a captain or a colonel. Maybe you go from, maybe it's, I didn't say it just right, but there's responsibility, and you have to prove that you're reliable and dependable before you receive those higher ranks and those greater responsibilities. Well, that's just like a single person too. If a single person's life is a wreck, can't keep the job, doesn't manage his love, doesn't take care of his, you know, isn't a good employee, doesn't manage his own affairs, is that person ready to get married? You're all shaking your heads. No, and that's correct. Because we need to be learn to be faithful and true as individuals, and then we can go on to additional responsibilities. You know, where we learn to manage our own money, we learn to be kept up, we learn to keep in our responsibilities and so on. And then we go on to more responsibilities. And of course, that is the challenge of it all. Well, as Moses continues here, he goes from those the explicit commands to explaining why those commands should be heeded. Look at verses 2 and following. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. What happened for 40 years? Well, they wandered from Kadesh Barnea. Away they went. Remember, they were first supposed to go attack, and they sent out spies, and the spies came back, and they made all the people scared. Oh, no, we can't overcome them. They're giants there. They're sons of the Anakim there. They have walled cities, and we're like grasshoppers to them. And the people rebel against Moses. Well, God says enough. They had says, "Oh, they will capture our children and our wives, and they'll become slaves." Well, you know what God says? Your wives and your children will enter in the kingdom, will enter into Canaan, but you will perish. And so, for 40 years, they wandered about the wilderness until that whole generation of age 20 and up perished. I ran the math one time. It's like 70 funerals a day. I mean, there was more on some days than others, but on average, that's how many people had to pass for 40 years. Just think about that. Astounding, right? Well, this is after those 40 years. What have the people learned? What were they supposed to learn, right? Well, among the things they're supposed to learn is that the Lord, through all of that time, through that those trials and troubles, was teaching them. He led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you and to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep the commandments or not. He humbled you. He made him depend on you. Apart from God, we can do nothing. That's true. And so it says he humbled you. He allowed you to hunger. He fed you with manna. You know what the word manna means in Hebrew? It's a question. What is it? What is this stuff? He says, he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. During those 40 years, your shoes, they had sandals back then, didn't wear out. Their clothes, they just kept able to wear them. Because God, by special providence, kept them whole and complete for all of that time. It's astounding, really. So was that 40 years in the wilderness a bright spot for Israel? I would say not. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that even though everybody was baptized, all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. They went through the Red Sea. They drank the the water that came out of the rock, and it says, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. And we know that because their bodies were scattered. They were strewn across the wilderness for over 40 years. And of course, what were they supposed to learn? Well, they were supposed to be humbled. They were supposed to see that they need God in such a way that they cannot live without Him. In fact, interestingly, in the Gospel of John chapter 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. At one point He says, apart from Me, you can do nothing. And that's one of the lessons that the Israelites were supposed to learn. Apart from living within God's grace, within His favor, they could do nothing. And now Jesus says to His disciples and to us, apart from Me, you can do nothing. So what do we have to guard? What do we have to be sure to do? Stay connected to Christ. Apart from Him is death. But with the Lord is life, peace, and joy forevermore. So for those 40 years, they were supposed to learn that they were incomplete on their own. What they needed was the spiritual life that comes from God. Right? And, this is the beginning of Israel's entry into the promised land, and God does some amazing things. But we also know that over the course of that Old Testament story, the whole story just has a few bright spots. On the whole, as we saw actually from Stephen, as we looked in Acts chapter 7 this past week, and we'll see again on Sunday, the Old Testament has a pretty sad accounting of how they were. In fact, in what was Israel going to do? I don't know if your Bibles are open. Look ahead to chapter 9, verse 24, I think it is. Nine twenty-four says, "You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I first knew you." That's Moses' assessment of the children of Israel. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Remember, jumping forward to the end of the book of Joshua, after the Canaanites are all overcome, or largely possessing their land. At the end of Joshua's life, this famous saying, right? Decide this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord our God. What do the people say? Yeah, we're going to serve the Lord too. What does Joshua say? No, you're not. He knows their hearts, you see. In fact, even Moses, I think it's in Leviticus chapter 26, he recounts how this inhabiting of the land of Canaan is going to result in their being exiled from it. That's the prophetic testimony of the Word of God. And for our part, as we read and we reflect on these things, we need to learn. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10 says that same thing. These things happen to them as examples for us, on whom the end of the ages have come. So that we what? So that we don't lust after evil things the way they lusted after them. So that we don't lose our focus and purpose and desire for loss of knowing what ought to be done. Well, the final section we'll scoot through. This is the expectation of this reminder, and of course, the expectation is that through all of these trials that they would gain wisdom, that they would learn, and so that's true for them, looking back at them. But it's as true for us. In fact, this very verse right here: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Where else do we read that? in the first temptation of Christ, in Matthew chapter 4 and in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is fasting for 40 days. The Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Just a coincidence, I suppose. Jesus is hungry. He hasn't eaten. If you didn't eat for one day, how hungry would you be? Pretty hungry, right? Well, he didn't eat for 40 days. And the devil comes along and says, hey, you're God. You're the Son of God. Turn this stone into bread. What does Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And of course, the intent and the desire is that by living on the Word of God, we grow spiritually strong. Just like babies need milk and cereal and food, and you know, we eat what, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and a snack between the way there? The effect of that is that we grow taller, we grow older, we live longer. Excuse me. And of course, the challenge is that we grow not just physically, but spiritually. And Jesus says, if you want to grow spiritually, you need that word that comes from above. You need that Spirit which gives light and understanding of the mercy of God. Congregation, Israel was admonished by the Lord, and they were to be humble before Him. He brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey. There was all the food you could ever want. There was green pastures, there was cool waters, there was abundant crops. Everything you need, everything you didn't have in the wilderness, you had available. And the lesson that they're supposed to learn, the lesson that we're supposed to learn, is when we have all of those good things, by and large, all of us have good things above and beyond what we need. The repeated warning is that when you have all of these things, when your wealth increases, when your livestock increases, when your gold increases, when all of this abounds, what's the warning? Then be careful you don't forget God. And what does that mean, to forget God? Well, I think it means that your love grows cold. I think you begin to think you can do whatever you want. Because you're not living as a servant of God, you're living as your own master, who gets to decide right and when and how and all of those things. As New Testament believers, we too learn our dependence upon God and His grace. Why are you at church on Sunday? Why are you at church here? Well, for many of you, because your parents took you here. But ideally, we come here because we know this is where we find life and joy. This is where we find peace and happiness. In fact, we celebrate Thanksgiving Day to learn the lesson that Israel was supposed to learn. That all that we have comes from God alone. That His grace is sufficient for us. And on our part, we will come and thank the Lord and praise Him for what He has done. Might the Lord be pleased to encourage us all not to grow weary, not to grow tired, but to hold fast, to be true to His Word and to His ways, for the effect that we might live here and now and forevermore. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful to You for this day. We thank You for the blessings that You supply, Your mercies that are always new and all sufficient for our salvation. Lord, all we can do is acknowledge You and thank You and worship You. Help us, O Lord, not to grow weary, not to grow tired, not to think we're smarter than You or we know better than what Your Word teaches and commands, but to always be your humble servants. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.